Welcome to the teaching and preaching ministry of Bishop Michael Fuller, Senior Pastor of Word of Life Tabernacle in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We pray that this message will be profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that you may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So if you must, please get your pens, your papers, and let's prepare ourselves to hear a word from God.
Amen. It might not be all that we can do all in one setting, but we're going to do what the Lord said. Amen. How many of us believe or feel right now on a scale? Now, you might have to have some paper and pencil for this message. It's going to be more teaching, and or you need to record or whatever the case might be. But because there's some principles we want you to gather here that I think is relevant, or you might have to get the tape. But how many of us on a scale of 1 to 5 would say, or you would be able to stand up and testify, raise your hand and say, Bishop, I have no selfish bone in my body? Not me. I'm not a selfish person. So on a scale of 1 to 5, I want you to examine yourself this morning. 1 would say, if I asked you the question, you know, how would you rate yourself on a level of selfishness? 1 would be, I'm not selfish at all. That don't even apply to me. 2 would be, I might be a little selfish. 3, I might be more selfish. 4, I might be very selfish. And 5, I'm just stubbornly selfish. How would you rate yourself this morning? We sweet people, I'm not saying y'all are selfish. I just want you to rate yourself. It might be something you might discover about yourself. Amen. Because it's very important for us as a family of believers, as well as even individual families, to understand our level of selfishness and the impact that it can have on what our relationship, husband and wives, you know, we know selfishness can have a great impact on your relationship. Singles, individuals, church family, believers at large. Amen. Selfishness can have a great impact on our spiritual relationship, on our natural relationship. Amen. It can have an adverse effect on us, can't it? Y'all going to talk with me, right?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Because I'm going to start walking down the aisles in a minute. So we must overcome and encounter the hindrance of selfishness so that we can do what? Live victoriously and fruitfully. Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to know, amen, that the things that you have invested in life will produce good results. But we must understand and to recognize, we must consider that word selfishness. That's, y'all see what we're going to talk about today, right? So I want to show you how to apply in the scripture, amen, this thought, overcoming selfishness. Overcoming selfishness. Now, did you rate yourself on your scale of 1 to 5? Are you saying you're not selfish? you might be a little selfish. Am I more selfish or very selfish? Or I'm just stubbornly selfish. Overcoming selfishness. How do we overcome this powerful enemy called selfishness? Thank you. Amen. Paul lets us know, first of all, as we're going to 1 Corinthians, we're going to the love chapter. Considered to be 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where Paul writes this letter to the church at Corinth. He's writing from Ephesus, because of the inquiries that have been made to him. The people were inquiring of the fact that there were many issues and circumstances that were going on in the body of Christ. And they wanted some information. They needed direction. They needed to understand, Paul, how are we going to deal with these issues? Amen. What were the issues that they were experiencing? They were having improper attitudes, carnality. Folk were just living and doing what they wanted to do, having a lack of unity in their relationships. They lacked order in how they are to worship God. So there was a multiplicity of things that was happening, and they needed direction and guidance on how they supposed to deal with this. Because, you know, when you got a lot of selfish people in the room, you got a whole lot of ideologies and misconceptions and misunderstandings that's going on. Because why? Everybody is trying to promote their own agenda. So I want to reflect on that word, amen. Because there's a lot of selfish saints who promote improper behaviors that we are not supposed to be producing. You know, just an individual person, if you just think about yourself, am I hurting anybody by being selfish? Is my being selfish going to impede my relationship with the Lord? Is it going to stop me from being who I'm supposed to be? Am I not supposed to love myself and promote myself and look out for me? Isn't it all about me, myself, and I? No, it's supposed to be about Christ and Him crucified. But if we're going to serve Him effectively, now we're going to deal with a various variation of this. We're going to deal with ourselves. We're going to deal with our family. Right. Amen. Just holistically. Can we do that? Amen. Just for a few Holy Ghost minutes? Amen. So if y'all say amen, I'll keep moving. So the problems points us into a place that we need to look into a different dimension of what God wants to produce in me as an individual believer. What does God want out of us? How about soul? And what is it that need to be uprooted that might be preventing me from being fruitful and productive in my life? Thank you, Jesus. So I must watch myself and I must guard myself. And so what Paul does, he takes all the issues, amen, and he writes this whole picture to address the whole perspective of what they are dealing with. Right. And then he said, listen, let me take you to a place that I think you need to examine. Right. And it's called love. Because he says love is your greatest weapon against selfishness. And oftentimes we abate or abort love because we get so self-centered and engrossed in our own personal selves that we forget that it's greater than us. Hallelujah. Now look at what Paul said. Go to 1 Corinthians. Woo, glory, Holy Ghost, help us here. 1 Corinthians 13. Now let's pick this up in verse 1 and listen at what he says. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not what? And have not what? Y'all talk to me. Have not what? Charity is love, right? I am become as what? Sounding brass or a tinkling. I'm just making noise, right? I got noise with no power. Noise with no effect. Noise with no purpose. Because my noise is perpetrating what I'm supposed to be possessing. And I'm aborted of love. And I'm not showing it and demonstrating in the manner it should be. Therefore, my voice sounds like cymbals tinkling. Hallelujah. Brass sounding. Noise. You ever just made noise and won't get no effect? So we must understand the problem here. We must first understand that to know that we belong to each other. And we must know that we have to allow the Holy Spirit to deal with our level of selfishness. Why? Because selfishness will try to divide and conquer our relationship with each other, our relationship with the Lord. Amen. Selfishness becomes an enemy against love. That's why love is a great weapon against selfishness. Hallelujah. So every one of us have to check ourselves, because we want to make sure, are we walking in unity? Are we walking in harmony together? Are we possessing and demonstrating the true love and character of Christ? Because we know Paul was emphasizing the point on their improper behavior, because they were being drawn into their carnality and, you know, their fleshly ways and trying to deal with themselves, but they were making a mess of it. And sometimes when you're trying to deal with other people and you're trying to deal with yourself, sometimes you have a problem, right? Because you find yourself having issues internally, trying to understand you, and without recognizing it, you become selfish. And you want others to honor your selfishness when they're really sick of you being selfish. Y'all don't say amen. Don't. Now, if you came with somebody, don't look at them. You just keep looking ahead and amen. Thank you, Jesus. We're not pointing no fingers. Amen. We're just talking about this enemy called selfishness. Amen. And we got to understand there are many problems that stem from the area of selfishness. And one of our home challenges is that we allow selfishness to infiltrate our spirit. And then there's no spiritual peace where we should be walking in. So we know one of the homes, even our homes, greatest enemies is selfishness. And when I say home, I'm talking about in us as an individual, in our spirit, even in our physical homes. Amen. We can all testify. We'll have an extra hour because we're trying to remember all the things we did selfishly to one another. So, another word used for selfishness is called self-willed. Amen. Self-willed, which means self-pleasing. One who is dominated by their own self-interest. And they're inconsiderate of others. They arrogantly assert their own will. In other words, you just do what you want to do. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you don't want to do. I'm going to do it because I want to do it. Y'all going to talk to me? So what happens, this creates a vacuum that puts us outside of the Lord's purpose, where we become incapable of living victoriously. Because we recognize such selfishness that's going on, we forget how to be unselfish. Have you ever told anybody in your household, stop being selfish? Or you are being selfish? And what is our defense mechanism? We say, I'm not selfish. We become what? Defensive. We put up a wall. And we're going to come back at you, right? We're going to let you know, I ain't selfish. But yes, you are. No, I ain't. And we'll defend ourselves, right? Anybody been there, done that? Okay, amen. So we have to understand the only way for us to put this under our feet is to make sure that we got the love of God shed it abroad in our hearts. Because we can't be what we need to be on our own. We need God's love to help us to become who we are supposed to be. Amen. Fruitful, come on, Lord have mercy, unselfish, self-sacrificing, willing to give of ourselves, amen, and not trying to take advantage over every situation. Woo, Lord have mercy. You know, sometimes we feel like we got to have it our way. If we can't have it our way, then we can. We close our ear gate. Our attitude change. Come on here, somebody. We don't want to hear each other. Amen. We don't want nobody to tell us nothing. We become stubborn and selfish. We close ourselves off. Hallelujah. Because our body language tells a lot, doesn't it? Amen. And we our body language sometimes talk more than our words. Mm-hmm. And you know when a person ain't listening. Because they turn away. They look down. And you say, are you listening to me? Yeah, I hear you. But you ain't really hearing them. You just want them to hush. Can I get a witness here? So we got to put this under our feet. Somebody said we got to put it under our feet. Stop letting it dominate our tongue. Stop allowing it to be the focal point of our conversation and allowing it to dominate our life of victory. We got to kill selfishness. We got to put selfishness under our feet, under the blood of Jesus. And Paul said, listen, let me show you, because he said, listen, you can have every gift exemplified and you can use it in its full magnitude. But if you don't have love, you don't have nothing. Because love, I discover, love will energize and empower. Love, come on somebody, would be the strength and the energy that's needed, amen, when it comes to moving in the things of God. And when we don't have love, we allow spiritual interferences from the enemy to blind us and to block us. And we start trying to figure this thing out and try to break through the cycle. And you ever feel like you're just hitting up against a wall? One thing you have to check is your love. All believers have been given the ability to love. How? Self-sacrificially. Through who? Christ. Thank you, Jesus. And this is why Paul takes the time in his discourse to help us to see that, listen, we're not worrying about, y'all worrying about these all these other gifts. But what about love? Which is the greatest gift. Hallelujah. So we can all have ability, but if we don't have love, we're still lacking the ability to be who we're supposed to be for the glory of God. So the love of God is visible in our hearts, and it's visible in our home. If we allow him to really abide, if we allow the love of God to abide in us, selfishness has to leave our house. It has to pack its bags, and it's going to leave without you. Hallelujah. Because selfishness cannot abide where God is, where the love of God is abiding, where the peace of God is abiding. Those hindering spirits, amen, that comes to try to divide and conquer and to destroy, amen, to kill, to steal and destroy. It cannot do it because we are letting the love of God abide in our heart. One of the greatest challenges for us as a believer is to allow the love of God to dominate the places where we've been hurt. Hallelujah. And when we let his love surpass all of the pain of our human comprehension, all of the pain of our human definition, then we understand and to discover that what I was holding on to is not greater than what I possess. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so we must understand we got to move, amen, to defeat that enemy and get him out. Mm-hmm. So Corinthians provides us the process. He shows us principle of how we can overcome selfishness. Here we find the armory of weapons that are available for us to conquer that enemy, hallelujah, and get him out of our house. Amen. Our spiritual house, our natural house. Come on, somebody. So that we can truly walk in the agape love of God. All right, let me give you a couple. Can I do that? So when I want you to remember this now. When love is present, There are seven spiritual manifestations that will come forth in your life. When love is present, there are seven spiritual manifestations that will come forth in your life. Hallelujah. Woo, Jesus. And I'm talking about from the realm and the purpose of agape love. Agape love in itself, it is unconcerned with self, but it's really concerned with the greater good of another. Agape is born not just out of emotion and feelings and familiarity or attraction, but it's from the will and it's from a choice. And you got to choose to love. That's right. Hallelujah. Because, see, if you're born of God, the Bible says you are born of love. For what? God is love. And therefore, who is born of God, you have love. And check this out. Love is not an option. But selfishness, you can put them out. You don't have to live in selfishness. You only choose to. Selfishness is born and produced out of experiences of pain and hurt, out of rejection, out of disappointment. Come on here, somebody. Woo. Out of lost opportunity, out of blaming, because selfishness want to blame somebody else for its demise. Want to make somebody feel a prisoner and guilty, amen, because they did not achieve something. Therefore, they have to selfishly hold you prisoner. Hallelujah. And hold you, responsible for why they are so delusionalized by their own pain that they cannot break free from. Hallelujah. But we want some love today, don't we? Hallelujah. Because love casts out fear. Perfect love, come on, casts out all fear. In other words, it gives us confidence to know God is with us. And what God has purposed for us, we can achieve. You understand God loves you so much, he gave his only begotten son. He didn't check and see were you out of sin yet. The Bible says while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he so loved you, but he knew you were messed up. He already knew we were jacked up. But he loved us anyhow. So now he said, now listen, if I can love you in your junk, I'm just talking on our level. If I can love you in your mess, come on, in your jacked up state of being, sure enough, you can love one another. Because you didn't earn it. You didn't pay for it. I gave it to you. Hallelujah. Woo, what you saying, Bishop? You mean to tell me I don't have a right? I don't have a right to reject? No, you don't, because you ain't God. Now, you will in your humanity, but you don't have a right to, because you didn't earn it. You're not God. You are not the judge. Okay, let me move on. Okay. So, what are these, out of these seven manifestations? Look at verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13. Amen. Hurry up a little bit, but I just want to point out a few of these for your hearing. Now, notice first, let's read verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 13. And notice Paul puts a little spin on this. He says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me what? Nothing. He also indicates this in verse 2. Amen. I can remove mountains and have not charity. I am nothing. Amen. Then he goes on to verse 4 to begin to expound upon the manifestation of love. Amen. And he begins to say, charity suffereth long. So y'all say that with me. Charity suffereth long. Somebody say long.
Help your people, Lord. Help your people.
Love suffers long. And there's another word I want you to put with that: patience. Patience. The Bible says, let patience have her perfect work. James talks about this. Charity suffereth long. Long. And many of us, if I was to ask you, how many of you are patient? We would have a mixture, wouldn't we? Some would say, I'm patient, right? But then when you have to deal with people with issues, you find yourself to be impatient. Because oftentimes you can only be patient to your own purpose and to your own issue. But when you got to deal with everybody else's, you become impatient. So it suffers long. Most of us are impatient and short with each other. We'll listen endlessly to other people, and we'll even put up with bad treatment from others. But often we will bite off our own family's head if they cross us. You can talk to a stranger. You're patient. You can go home, amen, and become impatient. Ooh, Jesus. So can the question here I have, can love control us? Can love control us? The Bible says the love of God restrains us so that he can work for us to bring us to what? A better outcome. We must understand, if God reconciled us through his love, shouldn't we do the same for one another? If he were patient with us in all of our struggle and issue, how is it we are so impatient with each other? So the enemy has a good time with the saints on Sunday morning. While we're getting ready for church, while we're driving to church, he has a heyday. Ah, Lord. I ain't asking y'all to testify to this. Many times the Holy Spirit gets quenched even before we get in the door because of our impatience with one another. Hallelujah. Somebody just say, help me, Lord. Help me. Thank you, Jesus. Help me to kill selfishness. Amen. I want to manifest patience that helps me to be still and know that you are God. Hallelujah. That I can be patient in the midst of trial. Patient while you're working on my aggravation. Come on. Patient while you're even crushing me. Amen. While I'm trying to crush somebody else. I need you, God, to help me to get over me. Hallelujah. Because my not getting over me causes me to be impatient with somebody else. But if I get me right, it'll calm me down. Come on. Your mind will come down. Your mind and conscience will settle in. Amen. And you won't see so many folk as a threat, because you'll realize you was your greatest enemy. Hallelujah. And so he wants us to walk in patience and let patience work for us. But sometimes we got God on a dial. Okay, God, bitch ain't hurt me. Finished by 12, I'm clocking out. We not waiting for God. Lord. Woo, Jesus. We're so in a hurry, we want God to work it on our schedule and on our clock. But sometimes God tests you to see, are you willing to let him work on his time? Because we know our time is not his time. And sometimes we get frustrated and even impatient with God when we don't see him working like he ought to be working. Just because I don't see him working, that don't mean he's not working. Hallelujah. I just don't understand how he's working. But I do know one thing. He working on me, honey. He working on me. Thank you, Jesus. So somebody said, Lord, help me to be patient. I need patience to be manifested. We often say, you know, when you ask God for patience, you're asking God for trial. But you must understand you're going through trial anyhow. And God is trying to teach you obedience to the things that you suffered, even as Jesus did. He learned obedience. Amen. He learned how to wait on the Father. Amen. To be led by the Father. And so when God is trying to carefully navigate you through the troubles of life and to help you to evaluate your level of selfishness so that you don't allow it to become dominant in your life, you must see it for what it is, acknowledge it, and repent of it. Ask God to take it out. Come on, take out the heart of stone. Give me a heart of flesh. If I got a hard heart, it's going to be hard for the word to go in. I need God to take out that heart of stone. Because some of that hard heart makes you selfish, very stubborn. Come on, you're so stubborn, you aggravate yourself. Okay, y'all, hold on. And then he says, Lord, have mercy. Then he says, suffereth long and is kind. Are you kind? Are you sweet? Are you generous? Or are you those things only when you want to be? Is it on your based on your own agenda? Love is kind. That kindness. That word means it's in a kindness that acts. It's an action word. It is an attentiveness to the little things. It has to do with helpfulness and good manners. Let's give a practical example of kindness for the man. Brothers, wave your hand if you can. Amen. All right. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. You're kind, right? Because we're made that way, right? We kind. Oh, Lord, have mercy. We're kind. We're kind. In other words, we have a mannerism that causes us to, you know, to open the door for our wives. Help them with the heavy task. Get in there and fold the clothes and help hang up the clothes. We're going to make this a joint mission. Because of my draws too. You know, I ain't going to leave yours out there. Amen. We in this together. We're going to fold them up and put them up. Because we kind to one another. Hallelujah. So wives, we're not going to leave you out. We want you to be included too. It's having consideration and thoughtfulness that you've been home all day chilling. And you know that your husband's at work or working around the house and the children at school, and they will need a home-cooked meal after a long day. Come on here, somebody. You're gonna be gracious and kind to know. I know what time they get home. So I'm going to go ahead and start dinner and have it smelling like by the time they drive up and walking through the door, they're going to smell them biscuits. And because I'm not going to be selfish and sit up here all day in my curlers and rollers and my house shoes. We're going to be kind to one another. Come on here, somebody. I'm not going to order you a pizza. I'm going to cook you a steak. Come on here. Saute you some potatoes and give you some greens and cook you some cornbread and make you some lemonade and some sweet tea. I'm gonna be kind. Hallelujah. Through loving, Jesus even said, through loving kindness have I drawn thee. Amen. So I'm gonna show kindness to my home. And for the children, we're not going to even leave you out. Amen. You're going to show appreciation and helpfulness by taking out the trash without being told. You walk in the kitchen with your trash to go throw in the trash can. And the trash can already full and running over. And you're not going to wait for mom and dad and them say, take out the trash. You're going to take initiative. Say, let me take out the trash. Because I'm going to be kind to mama and them. Woo, glory to God. So we're going to be kind. We're going to be kind all the way around. I'm not going to drop the trash in a pile of trash. Woo, Lord have mercy. And then you're going to be so extra kind. You're going to take the initiative when you get up in the morning. You're not going to leave your bed unmade. You're going to make your bed. Because you're going to be kind and considerate of the fact that mom and dad and them already got enough to do. Let me do my part. Because that's love being demonstrated. Hallelujah. And when they call you and they ask you a question, you're not going to say, huh? What? Wait a minute. No, you're going to say, yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. What you need, mama? What you say, daddy? Woo, okay. So, we're going to let the light of Christ shine through us. And we're going to show kindness because this is a manifestation of God's spiritual grace. Amen. Showing in our heart because it's going to crush selfishness when we start doing things, amen, without being told. Amen. How many times somebody got to tell you to take out the trash? How many times somebody got to tell you, I'm hungry? Are you planning to cook tonight? It is tonight, right?
That's right, sir. That's right.
That's good. It's 5 o'clock already. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to be kind to one another. We're not going to say, well, you on your own, Jack. Hallelujah. No, you're going to show kindness. Because that's a wise woman that builds her house. Hallelujah. Because we're going to show the light of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. And then, I'm going to give you one more. I plead with have to come in. I don't think I'm going to be able to get too much further today. And then the third one I need you to understand is love envieth not. Love envieth not. Somebody say confidence. Love envieth not. Love envieth not. Ooh, Jesus. Oh, Lord. This phrase means that love is not jealous. This phrase means that love is not jealous. We're not jealous of one another. Real love, help me now. Watch out now. Real love, true, genuine love. I'm a preacher like this. Real love. It's not constantly checking up on our mate. What you mean, preacher? Real love understands her position, his position in the role of the household, of the family. Even you single sisters, you know, you know when a Jack Frost is not loving you. He hooking you, but he ain't loving you. Because he ain't doing you right. But real love has confidence. It does not accuse. It's not suspecting of wrongdoing. Lord, help us to manifest your spiritual grace. Help us to be confident in who we are, knowing, God, who you made us to be. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. What sense is it to walk around 24/7, amen, doing inspections? Come on here. Like Inspector Gadget, you're trying to check out every procedure and method and process of somebody's life to see are they in check or not. That's too much energy. God, if I can't trust you to keep my wife, then I ain't got much to give her. I'm preaching good, amen. Amen. Thank you. In other words, I have to have a trust, a confidence that God, if this is mine, it's yours. And I trust you to keep what's yours. Now, I ain't gonna be crazy now. I got to do my part. But I still got to trust God to keep what he gave me. Thank you, Jesus. Are you confident? Or do you have your phone on speed dial? Lord, the poor child didn't even get down the road 2 minutes. And you already called him. You ain't got no confidence. Come on here, somebody. Oh, Lord. Woo. Corn flake just went to the market. And Cheerios is on the call. Hallelujah. Trying to find out what's going on. Why are you taking too long? It don't take 10 minutes to get to the store. Well, honey, I might have wanted to sit in the car 10 minutes just to get over you. So can I please keep my 10? Because I'm trying to let love not envy. I'm asking God to deliver me before I get back home. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I got confidence that God can do it if you let me have my 10. So we got to be careful what we put in our eye gate and our ear gate. Right? Because we can allow such suspicions and mistrust to cloud the atmosphere of our lives that it produces what? Rejection. It produces arguments. Come on, we forget how to trust and how to believe in folk. Come on here, somebody. And we're living in suspicion. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. Hallelujah. While they sleep at night, we creeping through our house to go check out their wallet and look at the cell phone and see who they were talking to all day long. That's too much energy. Honey, sugar pie, frosted flakes, and Cheerios. If we can't get this together, let's come on to the altar and ask God to give us some confidence. Put envy and selfishness under our feet so we can crush this demon that's trying to hinder us having worship, having solace and having peace. Amen. That prevents us from walking in the manifestation of God's spirit. That prevents us from realizing what real love is all about. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, hallelujah, my soul. Amen. Perfect love casts out all fear. Amen. A life that is poured out in love. Amen. It brings joy and peace. It brings happiness. It brings confidence before God. We experience a love like never before. Thank you, Jesus. I mentioned to my wife years ago before I said, listen, you belong to God. Amen. I trust God for what he's given me. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I'm going to still keep my eye on you. But I'm going to still trust God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. He did say, watch and pray. Hallelujah. Come on now. Thank you, Jesus. Because we're confident now that what he started, he's going to finish. But we got to be able to have something to keep us. Word about love is like glue that bonds us together. When all the troubles and adversities of life come against us, when selfishness and stubbornness and all these things that sent by the enemy comes to try to unglue us and tear us apart, we keep finding ourselves, you know, we got that gorilla glue. That stuff you try to pull apart, you say, it snaps you back together. Hallelujah. How many times have we tried to unglue what God has glued? And every time we... he pushes back together. What God is saying, get your selfish self out the way. Hallelujah. And get down to the altar and let me work it out. Because I'm trying to give you some spiritual manifestation. And I'm trying to teach you about love. But if you don't let me teach you, amen, selfishness will set in. And over time, woo, the glue won't stick as strong. So sometimes God intervenes in the midst of our selfishness. Because we can't see the demon that's standing right there beside us to influence us to selfishness. And God intervenes, amen, and won't let the enemy destroy us or undermine us. Hallelujah. Woo. Oh, Lord, help me, somebody. Thank you, Jesus. So we got to let God give us the confidence to know he's going to work it out. One of the most scariest things is to know I'm selfish and I can't control it. And God is trying to tell me, I'm going to give you some patience. I'm going to show you how to work this. I'm going to give you some kindness. Lord, have mercy. I'm trying to teach you, amen, how to have confidence. Not let envy overrule and override your life and character. But to trust me to bring you through. And we sometimes we're fighting, right? We're resisting within our emotion. Our human emotion, amen, is a front for the enemy. And the enemy will try to use our human emotion, amen, and try to make us do something we know it ain't right to do. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. And so this is why we must trust the love of God that he has for us. Because he knows if we walk in that spirit of selfishness, amen, it motivates us to do evil. We imagine vain things. Come on, we have you ever just been one, you know God is telling you, sit down, get out my way, be still and know, I'm God. And you just itch, you got ants in your pants. And you just can't be still because you ain't in control. And God is saying, no, you be patient, wait on me, let me do it in you. Trust me. I'm going to give you confidence. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to work it out. But you got ants in your pants. You're scratching. You're digging. Amen. You're trying to figure out a way. How I'm going to unglue what God has glued. How I'm going to get out of this. How I'm going to get rid of that. And what's happening, the enemy start putting vain imaginations in your mind. And he make you devious and envious. And you start thinking, if I do this, I know that'll get him. If I act like this, I know that'll get him. Lord, help me, somebody. Thank you, Jesus. And that's the enemy influencing, working through that stubbornness and that selfishness. And God is saying, not on my watch. And isn't it amazing, after you do all that junk, God intervenes and you crying because God didn't let it happen. Woo, Lord have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. And sometimes you're trying to break in, and God said, no, I ain't going to let you do it. And you mad because God didn't let you do it. Come on now. Come on, you know smoking Joe won't no good. But you were trying to get to him. And God put an interference to stop you. And you mad at God because he didn't let you go all the way. He said, I'm trying to teach you to stop being selfish and trying to do it on your own and let me do it for you. Because if I work it out, I'll fix it, it'll last. Mm-hmm. Isn't it amazing that you can fight against God out of your own selfishness? Because we want what we want, we want to do what we want, and we're willing to fight God because we don't like the way he's dealing with it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Woo. Lord have mercy. Oh, Lord. Can I give y'all one more? Now I'll stop. I just want to touch courtesy. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Can I talk about that one for a moment? Amen. I'm skipping two, but I'm going to get to courtesy. I want to talk about love does not behave itself unseemly. Can I do that? Y'all say amen? That's right. Don't behave itself unseemly. This is actually that unseemly. It's actually a Greek expression that relates to etiquette. How to properly conduct oneself. Are you courteous? Are you courteous towards others? Are you courteous towards yourself? Common courtesy should be the daily practices of our families, right? Brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, sisters and brothers, whatever the case might be. Amen. It's a common courtesy to speak to somebody that speaks to you. Right? Even at home when we're dealing with our spouses or children or whatever the case might be, there should be a common courtesy that is produced out of the spiritual manifestation. There should be, before I leave home, there should be a goodbye. It might be even a goodbye kiss. Yes, sir. When I come home, it should be a hello and a hello kiss. A courteous telephone call to say, baby, I might be a little bit late. My schedule ain't quite what it should be, but I'm on my way. I can't wait to get to you. I've been away from you for so long. My God, my knees are clanking because I understand what I've got at home waiting on me. So I'm being courteous. I'm showing the proper etiquette. Amen. Because, you know, even before we send our children out the house, amen, there should be a kiss of goodbye. That there should be a prayer, amen, of protection over them. Because you must not assume they're coming back. So you ask God's protection and mercy over them. Amen. Make sure you kiss them. And make sure the last thing they hear is a positive word. Hallelujah. Come on, don't say, you knucklehead, get on out of here. No, you got to say a positive word. Baby, I'm going to miss you today. You're going to be blessed of God. You're going to do well. Amen. You got to say a positive word. Because that can have a lasting impression on them. Because if you're courteous, you teach them to be courteous. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. I wonder how many today gonna say, baby, I love you. I appreciate you. Give me a kiss, honey. Now you singles, now you keep your lips together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You hold that thought. Amen. Hallelujah. But we're going to be courteous, amen, because it's necessary for us to understand what God requires of us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, Lord have mercy. Somebody say, I'm courteous. I'm going to start practicing courteousness. Being loving and patient and kind. Considerate of one another. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody pray for me. Hallelujah. Because what, life is too short. And Paul said, listen, if we want the functionality of the body to be right, we have to begin to exercise the spiritual manifestations that qualify us to operate in God's love. Thank you, Jesus. Love is power. Love is a weapon. Amen. And that's why the enemy fights us not to show it. Hallelujah. Y'all, forgive me. I got to give you one more. I'll give you a dollar if you just stay right there. Amen. Forgive me. Amen. But love thinketh. Somebody say thinketh. No evil. Amen. I promise you I will close on this one. So love is what? Forgiving. Love is forgiving. Love is forgiving. Amen. Let's stand up for a moment. And so, Lord, help us to show your love. Help us to show your love. Because your love is forgiving. Thank you, Jesus. I will stand up with just an acknowledgement that God, that our sins are open and they are naked before you. Amen. You can sit back down. Amen. Let you stretch too. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So love is forgiving. Think it. Think it. No evil. Now, God, you got to help me right now. Because how can I look at my situations and think no evil? How can I deal with the issues that I'm encountering, whether it be with family, whether it be with home, whether it be with myself, whether it be with my spouse, whether it be with my children? How can I not think it evil? What am I going to do? Because this is humanly impossible. Because I'm thinking about some stuff right now, God, I need you to deal with. So it means, this phrase, I had to look a little further. This phrase means actually, amen, it means do not keep, y'all write this down. Do not keep a mental record of wrong. Do not keep a mental record of wrongs. Do not keep a mental record of wrongs. A selfish person seeks their own way and they angrily act out until they get it. They incite violence, attitude, wrong behavior in an effort to get their way. And when you make them mad, they pull down a list of past deeds and grievances. Well, I wouldn't be like this if you hadn't have done this. Well, I remember 10 years ago, man. I don't know what I was 10 years ago. Thank you, Jesus. 10 years ago, you did A, B, C, and D. 10 years ago, oh, my Jesus. Some of us can't even remember yesterday. So 10 years is a far-fetched. Thank you, Jesus. But it keeps record. Mental record. But if we're really going to think no evil, amen, we exonerate the person. We exonerate the record. We pull it out. We destroy it. we remember it no more. In other words, it gets to the point that it does not dominate us mentally nor emotionally. Amen. We're not holding or counting score, keeping score of wrongs against one another. Hallelujah. Real love removes all past sins. Now, how powerful is that? You mean tell me, Bishop, I got to forgive if I want to be forgiven? Wait a minute now. You mean to tell me the Lord won't forgive me if I can't find it in my own heart to forgive somebody else? Because if I say I forgive you, but I never forget, you ain't forgave. See, God already know you're not going to forget. But he knows your heart to forgive. And by you forgiving, it releases the pain of the injury. And it heals the wound. Hallelujah. So that when I remember things that happened to me in my life, they are not dominant to the degree it causes me to act selfishly. Because I know if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side and brought me through that, I would still be injured. But because of his love, amen, he's healed your heart. He's healed the wound. Come on, somebody. You might even carry the scar as a memory of what God done for you through his love. And it's a signia for you not to go back and to repeat the sins of the past. Hallelujah. It's not for you to say, okay, God, I'm going to go back and do it over again. No, it's to remember that, God, that hurt. It was painful. Amen. It was a lasting experience. And I know you healed me from the wound and from the hurt and from the crisis. You brought me. You took me out. You brought me over it. Amen. You brought me through it. I look back. I see it. But now I count it loss for the cause of Christ. I know that's hard for some because we see, Bishop, you don't understand, I'm still wrestling. But it's only because, amen, we have not let the love of God be shed abroad in our heart. When we do, we will find good success. Remove, cleanses, washes. Because none of us can survive unless we forgive. I'm not my soul shot. Woo! So I got to ask myself when I can't forgive, I got to say, God, am I still selfish? In other words, if I say I won't forgive, I'm telling God, you're not God. You're not powerful enough to change my heart. And I'm going to judge myself. God said, okay, be careful, because what judgment you measure out, it's going to be meted back to you. If you say, God, I can't forgive, God said, you dangerous ground, because what you are saying is that you don't want the manifestation of God to be manifested in your spirit and in your life. And you are choosing by your own right to deny God's power and love in your heart. And you are also allowing the enemy to come in with the spirit of selfishness and dominate your being and your spirit. And he's locked you in. Come on, somebody. And you got to remember, oh, Lord, help me. I'm closing here. And you got to remember, when we let the enemy come in, he don't just bring one devil. He brings several with him. Because his mindset is, if they let the root of stubbornness stay there and selfishness to settle in, I'll bring bitterness with me. I'll bring envy with me. I'll bring strife with me. Come on here, somebody. I'll bring all this unforgiveness. All these things will be rooted in me. And my heart will be hardened. So when somebody say, I love you, you'll say, child, please. And it ain't really you, but it's the root. Hanamaso, that's in you, that seed of the enemy that has anchored itself, because we will not let the love of God be shed abroad in our heart. We will not allow the Holy Spirit, amen, to embrace us and to liberate us so that we can be free to receive God's love. Woo. And so what's the greatest challenge for us is to be able to forgive somebody that we hold guilty. Oh, Lordy. To be able to say, I know you hurt me. And I'm choosing by God's love to forgive you. And when you're willing to do that, what will happen? The Bible says that the word will become like a hammer and it'll start breaking those rocks in pieces. It'll start crushing the things in your spirit that's not like God. And you'll be released from that inner bondage. Hallelujah. And that vice of the enemy that will hold your lips from saying, I. But because you got yourself centered in God's love, all of a sudden you'll be able to say, I love you. I release you. I'm throwing away my black book or all of my calendar events I've held check against you. I'm throwing away my pencil. Amen. Hallelujah. And I choose to take the eraser called the Holy Ghost. And I loose you from every bondage, from everything that you did against me. I choose by God's love to walk in his divine manifestation, because I'm determined I will not be bound to the enemy. I ain't sleeping in this bed another night with you, with that demon in you. You better go to the altar and ask God to get it out of you. Because I'm determined. I'm going to love you. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Every day you might have to walk through the house and say, baby, I love you. Honey, I love you. Cousin, sister, whatever the case might be, I love you anyhow, child. You might not like me right now, but I still love you. Thank you, Jesus. I know you talked about me. I know you called me everything but a child of God, but I still love you, because I'm determined. Hallelujah. When it's all said and done, when God starts rewarding, amen, and giving out the giftings, I want to be in position that I can receive from God. I don't want to be blocked because I quenched the Holy Ghost. I want to be free to know, hallelujah, that God has helped me to overcome that spirit of selfishness. Now I can look you in the eye and I can say, I love you. What makes a demon mad is when you can look him in the eye and say, in spite of what you think, in spite of how you feel, honey, I still love you. Guess what? What you want for dinner tonight? I'm gonna cook two steaks. Hallelujah. They might get mad and say, I don't want that. That's okay. I'm going to fix it anyhow. Because you won't be able to say, I didn't cook for you. You won't be able to say, I didn't open the door for you. You won't be able to say, I didn't treat you nice. Because I'm going to show the love of God. Can I get a witness as I go to my seat, because I feel a little happy. But when it's all said and done, somebody say, I love you. I know that might be hard. I know you might be having a troubled time. But what thing is, if you get yourself to Jesus and you let him know the difficulty of your process, God declares, I'll bring you into perfect peace. If you keep your heart and mind stayed on me, I'll show you how to navigate the troubled water. I'll lead you in and out of fine pasture. I'll show you how to take that devil by the neck. Hallelujah. And restrain him. Come on and crush that thing. And destroy that yoke. And put it under your feet. If you come to me just as you are, weary, wounded, and worn, I'll show you how to pull through. And the thing I love when you get to Jesus, he's already there waiting with open arms to receive you. He said, I was just simply waiting on you to get it in your mind that you needed God to deliver. You needed God to bring you out. And when by the time you got to the altar, the Holy Ghost lasso has already wrapped you. And he started pulling out that root of envy and bitterness, of selfishness and stubbornness. He started warring for you in the spirit, and you didn't recognize God was working. He just needed you to acknowledge. Somebody say, my body belongs to God, and I'm going to give myself to him. I'm going to surrender myself and let God work in me. You got to announce to the adversary, you held me long enough. Loose me and let me go. Loose my mind. Loose my emotions. Loose my heart. Loose my spirit. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Somebody say, I'm getting delivered. I'm getting breakthrough over this devil. I'm getting delivered from those things the enemy has thrown in my path. Ah, won't he bring you? Won't he bring you through it? If you cast your bread upon the waters, God has determined, I'll bring you out. Touch yourself, say, self, come on up, come on out. Let the God you serve, let him deliver you. And I know God will do just that. Do I have any witness to know God can? God will deliver you by his love. Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. I'm going out with a new mind. When I get back home, I'm going to get the cooking spirit. I'm going to get that loving anointing that makes me want to do right. That makes you grab your honey bun and give a sweet kiss. Grab your children and remind them that you love them. Even those stubborn ones, I'm going to call them up on the phone and let them know I love you. With the love of God, that you know the enemy don't have the victory when you rise up in the morning or before you go to bed at night. You're going to tell yourself, never again am I going to walk in this selfishness, but I'm going to walk with power. I'm going to walk with authority. I'm going to walk with victory. The chains of the enemy have been broken. That chain of distortment, of misunderstanding, of confusion has been broken. I'm coming out. I'm coming through by the power of God. I'm going back to the rule book, which is the word of God. And I'm declaring to my adversary.
adversary, you better get your hands off of my stuff. Oh, I'm putting the enemy out. Pack stubbornness bags. Pack selfishness bags. And tell them get out. But to leave it without me. Because as for me, I'm staying with God. Somebody touch yourself and say, I'm staying with God. Say yeah. I'm about to leave it because I'm getting happy. Say yeah. Say yeah. 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 If you believe it, you can receive it. If you believe it, God can do it. Somebody say right now. Right now.
I pray a blood covering over your deliverance, over your breakthrough. That the spirit of argumentation and divisiveness and division will not be the dominant force in your life. I pull down that stronghold of the enemy over your life. That's trying to push you into that place of disagreement. Be strong and of a good courage. For the Lord God is with thee. If you trust him, God said, I'll fix it. I'll work it out for you. I'll bring you through. And in the meantime, I'm going to stand my watch. I'm going to be still and know that he is God. That he will bring me through. Hallelujah. I will overcome. I will overcome. I shall overcome. I must overcome. Whew. The spirit of the enemy, for my life depends on it. Victory is in my God. Shandodobosi. And I hear the spirit of the Lord say to change your conversation. Change what you say, because you have what you say. And you have to begin to speak the word, speak positive. Thank you, Jesus. Even when we have conflict, amen, we got to find a way to counter the enemy by speaking the word of God. Whew. Because if he can counter us and he can block us, Thank you, Jesus. He'll cause us to focus only on the negative when we need to be focusing on the positive. And remember, an enemy has done this. And God exposed the enemy so that we can see what he's trying to do to us, to influence our life, to walk outside of the love of God. Help us, Lord, to walk according to your love. Ooh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Help us, Lord, to walk in your love. Let your love walk in us. Let your love be in us. So that when we connect as a family of believers, whether we're husbands or wives, sisters or brothers in the body of Christ, that when we connect, we will connect in harmony and in love. We overcome adversity. We triumph over the enemy. And we let him know he is defeated. Hallelujah. God is exalted. And Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Don't let the enemy rule. Don't let the enemy reign. You walk in love. Don't walk in hate. Come on, we don't render evil for evil, accusation for accusation. The Bible declares we treat evil with good. Hallelujah. I know that's hard to do. I know that's a challenge for us. But we got to demand ourselves to do what is right in the sight of God. Because we want the hand of God, the favor of God to rest on us. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, how many of you know you need his favor? Come on, you know you need the move of God to rest on you. So let's do what God requires of us. And let's trust what God allows, knowing he will bring us through. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we praise you, O God. And we give you the glory. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Come on, I want you to put your hands together like you receive that God's going to do for you what you can't do for yourself.